It is 9:04 KMSD. Glad to have you along. It is Good Morning Milbank for Tuesday. It is a special Good Morning Milbank. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1. Partly sunny and 80 breezy degrees. Cold front coming through. Showers and thunderstorms, 54. What a difference a day makes. Mostly sunny, 65 on Wednesday. Breezy and 60 on Thursday. Chance of showers, partly sunny, 49 on Friday. Current temperature is 64 degrees. She is in here for the entire hour, the whole hour, and nothing but the hour. It is the fifth annual 4-H takeover of the radio station. Sarah Koepke is here, ready to take over. Are you in?
Is that my cue?
Are you in takeover mode?
I think so.
Are you in full takeover mode?
I think so. You know, when I was coming in today, I was telling Kim, I'm like, you do a fabulous job, you know, every morning, because I listen to you on prior to doing my radio spot last week while I was out in conference. And I was like, Kim does a wonderful job as a co-host.
Yeah, Kimmy and I have a lot of fun in the morning.
I know. And then she goes, you come out anytime you want. And so I was like, I'm so excited to be back here, and I'm so appreciative of KMSD willing to support our 4-H program and allowing us to take over your radio station for the hour.
I know. It's all 4-H.
Yep.
It's nothing but 4-H.
Yep.
And something you said last week was great. And like, we got to echo it again. 4-H. It's not just about sows and cows.
Right.
I mean that, but it's true.
Right.
It was funny.
Yes.
Funny because it's true. But right. It is. And we're going to get into this for this whole hour. We'll obviously let folks know how to sign up their youngsters, right?
Right. Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Yep.
We're also going to tell you all that there is to do in 4-H if we could fit it all in an hour.
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's quite expansive. It really is.
Right. And there's so much. You know, I always use the analogy like 4-H is like a super department store. And, you know, when you have all these different sections in the department store that you can go to, that's very much of what 4-H is about. And, you know, it's so interesting how you find it when I said, you know, it's not all about the sows, cows, and plows reference.
Sows, cows, and plows.
Cows, yeah.
See, I just said sows and cows. And sows, cows, and plows.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't forget the plows. But even yesterday, it was 4-H record book drop-off, and everyone feels like the 4-H record book is so painful. But even now, having a kid in 4-H of my own, you know, just talking about the fundamentals of the 4-H record book, of it's just documenting, you know, we always take notes. I said, do you cringe every time your teacher tells you to take out the school planner and write down what you did or whatnot? Well, no, I said, this is exactly the same way, you know, the 4-H record book is like your school planner in documenting those things. And it's, we're always doing record keeping, if it's your checkbook or taxes, you know, when you get into real life scenarios. And so building those fundamentals at an early age is key. And I had a parent come in yesterday when dropping off the record book and said, you know, like this is what we did. We did 4-H. We always looked forward to 4-H achievement days and going to club meetings, because back then we didn't really have sports. And now we have that. And, you know, people are, oh, we can't fit in an extra thing into our busy schedules.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, that is perfectly right, but we have to break that stigma of 4-H is not the premier egg. It's a premier youth development program, and we're building kids with life skills. And so I just found that fascinating yesterday when he mentioned that.
And it's interesting, too, because 4-H has really evolved over the years and is more than just sows, cows, and plows, as far as that goes. And I think it's done a 4-H has done a really great job of evolving with the times.
Oh, yeah.
Adapting to an ever-changing world.
Right. Well, even look at our current school district, allowing these trades programs coming in. Even when I was talking to a family on Sunday, just kids these days are such visual learners. They're hands-on. They need to be learning with their hands. And, you know, when I was at a conference or our conference last week, excuse me, one of my colleagues sits there and crochets during presentations. And, you know, you always think that's rude. You know, but she goes, in my former teacher years, when you're a visual learner and a hands, like, you need to keep your hands busy, you know, big fidget days. How many times did your children have fidgets?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they needed that to keep their hands busy. And my friend said, it helps stimulate the brain.
And I'm all for doing something else during meetings, especially like work meetings here at the radio station. I'm always for doing something else.
Yes.
Sign me up.
Playing bingo, checkers. Going for a hike.
Checking my fantasy football results. Whatever. It's a million things you'd rather be doing, yeah.
Right, right. So, yeah, no, it's been fascinating to watch the 4-H program evolve, especially when you have been part of this program. And then if you've never been part of this program, you always feel like, I can't do that. You know, 4-H isn't for me, you know, because of that. We need to break that stigma. It's not an all agriculture. It's making sure that we are equipping these youth with the skills that they need.
You know, it really stands out to me when I have a chance to talk with the youngsters during achievement days. You know what really stands out to me the most? A lot of things stand out, but what really stands out to me the most is when I ask them, the folks that the youngsters who have been in 4-H 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it is, they talk about all the things that they've done. Well, I've done, I've shown this animal, I've showed this animal. I'm really into trap shooting. I'm really into robotics, Legos, whatever. A million things that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many do so many different things during their 4-H run, as it were.
Right. And the beauty of that is, as an advisor, what we want to see in our youth is, we want, when they are getting into their 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th year in 4-H, we want to make sure they're on the track of mastery. We want them to come out of 4-H and say, hey, I mastered this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so by making sure that, hey, yeah, you did foods and nutrition and you baked cookies or a cake or bread. Now let's progress that into participating in special foods, you know, and then maybe let's look at, okay, understanding nutrition labels. And we want them to continue to take that route of learning. And by the time they're near their end of their 4-H, they can say, I have mastered this. You know, we want them to reach that mastery level. And that's why they can do multiple things to get to that point.
And it kind of gets them out of their comfort zone, too. Which is good, because life will get you out of your comfort zone.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Whether you like it or not. Life at times will get you out of your comfort zone.
So I had a chuckle because when we were meeting with our junior leaders, and there's some that are very shelled, and you know, they'll get out. And so I said, hey, at school, do you want to do trivia during National 4-H week? No. Okay. So then when I was telling them about the 4-H radio takeover and who's going to join me, you know, and all of that, this one that said no to doing school trivia offered to possibly come and talk on the radio. And I just was, you know, kind of head scratching.
And let the record show that you were scratching your head there.
Yeah. Right.
You're like, okay.
And I was like,
didn't see that coming, did you?
Right. Yeah. So it's like those type of things of, okay, you're not going to do this, but this is more way out of your comfort zone than anything. And I think that's what the beauty of that is, to make sure that we are pushing these youth in a direction where they do feel comfortable and, in, but feel empowered to do it.
9:16, we have our first guest coming up, so let's take a break.
Perfect.
When we come back, we will continue. It's the 4-H Takeover. It continues next. 9:20 KMSD. It is the annual 4-H Takeover, and we have some youngsters in the studio who are 4-H, I don't want to say alumni, but current members.
Yep. They're active members.
Yep.
And this is the beauty of this, even though that you get to interview them and then you get during achievement days and ask them their short questions. However, this breaks down and allows them an opportunity to kind of share their experiences of what they have done and what they are currently working on. And so, our first guest today is
Kaylee Syme.
Where are you from? What club do you belong to?
Junior Busy Bees.
And how many years have you been in 4-H?
This is my 10th year.
So what do the Junior Busy Bees do for people going, okay, that's cool. What's Junior Busy? What does that mean?
That's just kind of our 4-H club. There's a bunch of different clubs that you can join.
Okay.
Our club really focuses on like the static and youth in action, but there's a lot of us also that do animals too.
Okay.
And very community service driven.
Yep, we do a lot of almost every month we do a community service project.
What's been one of your favorite ones?
Probably packing mercy meals, because we do it quite a bit and it's super fun.
Yep. Yeah.
What are mercy meals?
It's like where you pack meals that you can send overseas to people that don't really have food as much as we do.
Okay.
And that, I think that's through the Orphan Grain Train.
Yep.
On 12th Avenue.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
So explain to the sound waves out there, what do you call them?
The throngs of listeners.
Throngs of listeners, yes. Of your 4-H background. What made you get started, involved, and then where have you come to now?
So my mom was in 4-H. She wasn't very heavy with it, and I grew up with an agricultural background, so it was kind of given that I would join it. But I really didn't know what it was until one of my friends said, hey, you should join this. You'd be really good at it. And so I've joined, and each year I learn more and more about what 4-H stuff can do between my animals and my legislative program. And I just kind of do a little bit of everything because of how much there is to do.
What's been one of your favorite moments?
Working with my livestock and seeing the relationship grow between them and even growing our family together.
Mm-hmm. Becomes a family affair.
Yep. Every night we know what to do and we all do it. And we always make jokes. And every when there's shows on the weekend, we go, and it's kind of just like another family bonding. Yeah, we get mad at each other a lot, but at the end, it all works out.
I like the honesty. Thank you. That's nice.
I feel like I can relate. You know, that was my background too.
Pretty much,
and so, you know, I was always like, why don't we take a family trip down to Florida? And my parents were like, your trip is going to a national livestock show. Oh, okay. I will load up the trailer, and that sounds like a wonderful vacation, but it's a wonderful time because it's becomes a family affair and the people that you get to meet. And that's what 4-H is about. It is a family affair. It's not everyone's like, this is great babysitting or daycare, you know, it really isn't, because we're instilling these life skills, in these kids. And what better people to be there to support these young kids, not only our 4-H volunteers, but their own family, to support them. And sure. So that's the beauty of that. So what if there is one thing, because this is your last year, we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
What is one thing that when you graduate, which would be next summer, you can say, I mastered that. I achieved that.
I've always had the goal, because at State Fair, when you win, you get top five for market beef, you get to come out of a trailer. And they make a big deal, and it's super cool. And that's ever since I was little, even before I started showing, that's wanting to be my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And these past few years, with the help of people around us, we've reached up there. This year, I was in the top five. Not in the top five, but I was in the top end, so like the sixth place overall, basically. And that's just, that probably wasn't good for me, because now I'm itching like, well, I need to get there, because for one, it's my last year, and for two, because I just really want to do it. And so it shows how far I've come along as a person, because when I was little, I started with these little bottle calves, and now I'm up here showing these big show steers that can compete at national levels.
And understanding that.
Yep. And understanding the process and how much work goes into it and responsibility. It's really developed my character as a person.
Mm-hmm. So Kaylee is, as an advisor, we always want to encourage our youth to go beyond. Okay. There is much more beyond our amazing county program. As you can tell, I'm slightly biased of our program.
No.
It's so, we always want to encourage them to even seek out opportunities within our program. And Devin's going to come on later in the next, after the next break, of to talk about what they are doing beyond the county. And so Kaylee mentioned this earlier. She is a South Dakota 4-H legislator. About 3 years ago, they started within our civic education, state civic education program. They started a South Dakota 4-H legislator program. And basically, it's teaching these kids about kind of the political side of 4-H in the sense of how to run for government. And so, Kaylee, you've been doing it for the past
three
years since the inaugural.
Yep.
And talk about what the program is about, the process that you have to go about to become in the legislative program, and then what you are currently working on.
Okay, so the reason I got involved is because it seems like that type of history has always came to me naturally. Like, even in history class, I knew exactly what it was, so I always wanted to get involved. And I've heard people around the community saying, well, I want to, how can this get changed? How can this get changed? And when Sarah showed me this opportunity, I was like, I need to take this, because my family and friends would definitely tell you I'm definitely one to argue about it. So I get my points across, and normally they're good points, and there's good debate from it. And so I've actually developed a program called 4-H Buddies that Grant County uses, and this year is supposed to become a statewide program where a senior member mentors a clover bud or a new family that just doesn't get what 4-H is about and needs some more help in 4-H. It's where those senior members have had the 9-10 years of experience to help off. And before they graduate, you can then like basically kind of not really pass your legacy, but pass down stuff that you've done so that you know that 4-H is still going to keep around. And some things I'm currently working on is I want to propose a bill to have a prospect calf show at the state fair to allow clover buds and, or not clover buds, but younger 4-H members come to the state fair and show. Because a lot of it now is this older 4-H members that are having those big 1,400-pound steers and stuff. And if you get the little ones involved, it's going to be a lot more fun. And the beef program is just going to expand. And with the new decks, we definitely have the room to expand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also trying to get the dog show changed again and change the size of the cookies for 4-H. Because if you go to Barron's, they're big. But if you come to 4-H, they're like one bite and they're gone type of deal.
I love it. We need bigger cookies.
I know, right?
Bigger cookies.
It slightly sounds ridiculous, but within the project areas, you know, so there's guidelines to kind of help kids follow. And one thing within the foods and nutrition program area is the cookies, you know, because they are very specific, and you will get docked if they are much bigger than 2 inches. So can you imagine eating a 2-inch cookie?
If I had 12 of them, sure.
I know.
Yeah. A big glass of milk, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to give me 12, yeah. One, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that Keely's been working on. And like she had said, her first one, her 4-H buddies, her original bill. So she writes these bills, and then they actually get to go in the process. And the process is on November 4th.
November 4th at the state capitol.
Yep. They get to be in the state capitol. Are you on the House side or the Senate side?
We'll be on the Senate side because it's just easier for how it is. Because with how we do it by voice vote instead of, like, with on the screen, so that way we can actually voice our opinions and debate it more on the Senate floor.
You mentioned trying to change dog show rules or dog show. What are you trying to accomplish?
So
there?
There's a few people in my community that have reached out and they're like, well, we can't participate in dog anymore because of how it is and when it is.
Okay.
So, and the numbers have gone down. And we kind of are just like, well, we're going to try and change it back to get the numbers back up because you always want more numbers and less.
Yep.
Okay.
So this past year, they broke out the dog show in within three different regions for shows. And before, it was one region within Huron at the Nordby Center. And so there wasn't much participation within the breakout versus when it was actually considered a state show. And so working with that, and we're very blessed to have very passionate 4-H dog project leaders within our program in being able to possibly guide Keely into writing a bill that we can potentially see maybe that change. The beauty also within this program is a lot of the changes within our state 4-H program are done through this South Dakota legislative program. It is the youth voice. It is.
Okay. Yep. One of the first years when I was in it, if you guys have ever been to the SCSU Dairy Bar and have ever heard of Clover Crunch. Yep. That was actually made by us legislators.
Yep. So that was a bill to have the SCSU Dairy Bar invent and create a 4-H ice cream. you know, and so that actually went through, you know, and so it's just to see these changes. So prior to, before you get to the bill creation, you actually have to declare candidacy.
Yep. We did that back in about May. And after that, you have to make, just how everybody else does, a rat card, a campaign video, and go around campaigning to, hey, vote for me. And you have to get your petition signed. And with our county, we are one of the bigger counties, so I needed 15 signatures. So once you get your 15 signatures, then you wait about a month or two for the voting process. And this year, I had no competition because nobody ran against me, so I was automatically considered R1. But, like, in past years, I've had people run against me, and that's when you're like, okay, you should vote for me, and that's when you pitch your ideas and be like, this is why, and if they agree, they'll vote for you, just like how you would with normal politics.
Yeah. All through 4-H.
That's really neat right there. That is neat.
Yep.
And you could be a future congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At first, I think you were leaning towards law.
I was leaning towards law, and that was until I found the love for animals that I, like, discovered it, and ever since, I haven't want to leave animals.
So, yeah.
Never know what you're going to discover as you go through life, and your interests change when you're young. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know when your next break is.
We could take a break now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
9:35, we continue. It's the 4-H Takeover. Stay tuned. 9:37 KMSD. The 4-H Takeover continues with another youngster who we pulled out of a good class.
I know. So
unfortunately,
sad.
See, I really enjoy pulling them out of classes that they don't want to be in.
I know.
So when they're in classes that they do want to be in, it hurts my soul. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what were we working on?
For what?
In your class?
Right now, we were just looking at house designs and how to cost or price out a house.
You pull that microphone a little closer to you. There you go. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
An engineering class.
Engineering, yeah. Now, is that what you'd like to do going forward? Maybe going to college for that?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, cool.
Okay, introduce yourself. Tell us what club you are from and how many years of 4-H you've been.
I'm Devin Mueller. I'm from the State Line 4-H Club, and I've been in 4-H for 8 or 9 years now.
Okay. You don't remember how many years you wrote down in your record book this last week?
No.
No.
Half your life.
Of it, yeah.
Thereabouts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Because did you start right at 8? Your first year, or were you a clover bud?
I started at 8, yeah.
8, yep. Okay.
Awesome. So what made you initially want to get into 4-H?
Initially, my mom made me. I didn't really want to be there, but my mom made me.
Good job, Mom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And eventually, I found shooting sports, which I really enjoyed.
Okay.
So thank you, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Thank you, Mom.
Sometimes moms know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Only sometimes.
Only sometimes. I am recording this, by the way, and we'll send her a copy. No,
yep.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So tell us about your love for shooting sports and growth.
At first, I was 10 when I first started shooting sports. I only shot BB gun and an air pistol. I didn't really like air pistol, so I quit that. So then I was only shooting BB gun for roughly a year and a half. And then I saw some people shooting archery, and I was like, hey, Dad, I want to try that. At first, he was totally against it, and then after a year of begging, he finally said, okay, you can try it. So I started out with a little bow that I rented from 4-H, and eventually I got good at it. So my dad bought me my first bow. It was a PSE, and then I started shooting really good with that PSE for about 2 years, I would say. And then I wanted to start shooting competitively in 4-H, so I got a new bow, which was a Height Hyper Edge. And with that bow, I have achieved more than I ever thought I would achieve in archery and shooting sports in general. Because this year, I was selected first alternate for going to nationals.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's certainly an achievement, yeah.
Yeah.
So tell... For the airwaves.
Throngs of listeners.
Yeah. Throngs of listeners of what you do in shooting sports, archery specifically, because there's three different components. Mm-hmm. So walk through those three different components of how you were able to be selected as that first alternate.
So first you have to qualify for state. And that for a senior is 135 or above, and the max you can get is 150. So I qualified. I went to state, and I shot a 150 with 18 X's. So then I was like, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Why not? Let's go out and shoot the 3D that they have set up, because that's one of the second things you need to qualify for. So I shot that, and then they don't let you know what your score is until you get to the third one, which is a FITA course in Yankton. And at that FITA course, you shoot at 60 meters, 50 meters, and 40 meters as a senior. And then once you shoot all those, at the end they tally up your score, and then the top four go to nationals, and then the other four are selected for alternates.
Okay, so your first qualifying is an indoor shoot.
Yes.
Yep. So, like this winter, our county has a 4-H shooting sports program. So, they will shoot indoors within the 4-H complex. And so you qualify there.
Mm-hmm.
The 3D course. Do you like the 3D course?
Yeah.
Why?
Those are pretty fun. Because there's no yardages. So it doesn't tell you how far away you are from the target. So you pretty much just have to, like, guess or wing it pretty much the entire time.
And what are your targets?
3D animals.
Yep. So we're, like, shooting at an antelope.
Like a plastic deer.
Yep, a plastic deer. That's pretty cool.
Makes sense. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And they have that set up by the Owyhee Dam.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I've heard many people that go, because parents can do that as well during the state shoot in April. And it's just fun to be out there.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before also, like lots of times on our conservation show. Mm-hmm. These are skills that you're going to be able to have for your entire life. These aren't just, you know, okay, we're out of high school and I'm never going to do this again. Mm-hmm. These are skills that you're going to have for the rest of your life.
Right. Right. And I think it builds confidence. You know, going back, if you can go back into your memory bank when you were begging, what was your first year of archery like? Was it challenging?
Yeah, it was hard because I had no idea what I was doing at all. And I was just really doing it to like have fun.
Yeah. And so then you have grown to the point where when we were talking earlier before our youth came in about building mastery. These are two examples that I can say that are building mastery. You know, we are looking at goals ahead that we want to achieve, and ultimately, your goal is to
make it to nationals.
Right, right. And even though that, like, you serve as a first alternate on the team, you still have that opportunity to be part of that team aspect at a national level. Mm-hmm. So that's where we want to get to, you know, and so with your shooting sports background in your specific project area, you also participate on a state level program, which is
Owls.
You know, and we always, everyone asks, what does OWLS stand for? Do you remember?
Outdoor Wilderness Life Skills.
Right. Like at first when we're like, we don't know what the acronym is. But tell the throngs
yeah,
of the airwaves mm-hmm. what the South Dakota OWLS program is about. Because you just had a meeting, didn't you? To start off a new year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So OWLS is mainly about getting youth, mainly older juniors and most seniors, getting them more involved in the outdoors and teaching them more about natural resources than like most people would like acknowledge by themselves. And learning new skills like how to like start a fire with limited resources, like without a lighter and fire starter.
So what do you use? Magnifying glass? Magic?
I use cattails and sticks.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you participated in this program last year. You had a kickoff meeting for next year. You had to apply for this and be accepted. Explain what adventures you went on, because you did four throughout the year.
Yep.
So kind of explain some of the adventures of the OWLS program that you did.
So the first time we went, we was just an informal meeting. We would get to know each other better and like get to know our friends and like the people we're going to be camping with for the next like few days, get to know them better. And then the second time, it was more or less, let's have a little bit more fun. Let's keep getting to know each other. Let's do some like team building exercises. And then that was pretty much the same for the third one. You did some more team building exercises and got to know each other a little bit better. And then finally for the fourth one, we took a big hiking trip to the Bighorn Mountains.
Okay.
So prior to that, you did a overnight in
Custer. Pier. And then Madison or Mitchell, I think.
Okay. And when you were out in Custer was during winter time.
Wow.
And was there snow on the ground at that time?
There was some snow, but it was starting to melt. But we did stay in cabins, so it wasn't that cold.
Okay.
But you are sleeping in tents.
Yep.
Backpacking.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all that wonderful wilderness outdoors activities. And so just building on that from your outdoor nature of shooting sports and then, you know, moving on, like we want these kids to fly the Grant County 4-H coop, right? And get them involved in 4-H, outside of the county boundaries, which can be like these state programs. So, okay, before I let you guys go, and Kaylee can scoot up here too as well. Before I let you go, I want you guys to say what have you gained from 4-H and what has 4-H meant to you? If you were to tell someone that was ever interested in joining 4-H, because you've all have Devin joined 4-H because his mom made him. You joined 4-H because you had a friend tell you. So if anyone out there is listening of why would I benefit from 4-H, what would you share with them? What have you gained, and what is one thing that you would share with them about 4-H? Oh, you're going first, Kaylee.
So throughout 4-H and definitely like going to, like this was my first year going to a national show, I've gained tons of friendships. I've gained tons of responsibilities and learned how to deal with stressful times, learned how to time management. So I've learned a ton of life skills that will get me through college and even adulthood that hopefully will help, but I know they will. And also just wanting to get more people involved because 4-H really is a great program. You might not think so at first, but I know I'm struggling as my last year knowing that I might never get to do some of these things ever again in my life.
Well said.
Yeah. What was the question?
I've really put you on the spot. I really had you think, didn't I?
Yeah.
So if someone was ever curious about 4-H, like what is something, that you have gained but also share with them basically what 4-H means to you.
Well, I would say you should join 4-H because you can do pretty much anything you really want in 4-H. Like, there's a lot of new stuff you can try and a lot of fun stuff you can try. And also, I've made a lot of friendships just going to, like random archery shoots because, like, everyone's there who's, like, going to compete. So if you want to, like, do anything you really want, if you're serious about it, you should join 4-H because there's probably going to be some pro or experienced person there that's probably going to be able to help you if you just, like, ask, like, a couple of questions. Because mm-hmm. they're probably more than willing to help you.
So, I had chills from both of your guys' statements because at an age at right now when you're thinking about things in life, granted, Kaylee will move on to college next year. Devin, you still have a few years of school still left, and people don't understand the word networking.
Mm-hmm. I don't either.
You just explained it.
I don't know what networking means.
It's when you... It is... See, life lesson here, Carino. When you're going out to these places and you're visiting with people like your pros and you never know, you're networking with them. You never know who you're going to run into, right?
Yes, and you will learn as you go through life that in a lot of instances, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's the beauty of, even though that they didn't necessarily say networking, it's just...
You're making a positive impression on a person.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Interacting with them.
Right.
Like we're kind of doing right now. I have a positive impression of you.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty good.
And you too. I don't leave her out either. And you too, sir.
Oh, thank
that's
you.
It's all positive. It's all good. Don't want to leave anybody out there.
Yeah. So, but I want to thank you guys for joining us. We'll go, we're almost done with our hour. That time goes by so fast. We'll take a break and then...
let everybody know how they can sign up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you both so much. All right, we'll tell you how you can sign up for 4-H next. 9:56. We have a few more minutes left in the program. We're going to let everyone know how to sign up for 4-H. How can they get their youngsters to sign up for 4-H? Mm-hmm. So how can they go about doing so?
Yeah, so obviously this first week is National 4-H Week, and our junior leaders are out and about, and I'll explain a little bit more of what's happened, fun things that are happening within our 4-H program. But the stigma is my parents weren't in 4-H, so I don't need to be in 4-H, or I have parents that, you know, schedules are so busy that we can't make time for 4-H. Those are the common phrases that I hear. And I totally understand. I get it. 4-H, you make it what you want it to be. Like I said, we are like a super department store. We have so much to offer. I hope that, if you're just tuning in, you missed two great, of our 4-H members, and as you can tell, they're versed, you know, they're not doing the same exact thing. However, you know, Kaylee, she does, shooting sports as well, but her forte is animals. Mm-hmm. And so you find those different things and we want, like I said, to get to the point of mastery. And so for 4-H, it is open to youth. We serve youth ages 5 to 18 from all backgrounds and interests. Members who are ages 5 through 7 as of January 1 of the current year. So as of January 1 of 2023, based on their age, you know, everyone thinks of October 1st because that's when we start a new 4-H year, but we always follow the first of the year, when it comes to ages. So, youth ages from 5 to 7 are considered clover buds. Clover buds are non-competitive. We are, equipping them with mentors like, the Buddies program, like Keely explained earlier, giving them social skills, and start building that confidence within them and, having them understand, learning through appropriate, activities and project areas, that they can do. Then from 8 to 18, it's the wide gamut of everything, that you can do, in building those, positive learning experiences, not only from, their 4-H youth, peers, but also through our caring, 4-H volunteers, within their club aspect or their project areas, and so forth. So yes, you can start at the age of 5 and, you can graduate, out of 4-H at the age of 18. If you're all interested, enrollment is open. I suggest you just to give us a call at the 4-H office, which is 605-432-9221, or come visit us out at the Grant County 4-H complex. We are no longer in the courthouse basement. And so if you are uncertain where the complex is located, you never know. It is, across from the high school, which is on the 4-H grounds and on Flynn Drive. What else am I missing?
It would be entertaining though to watch people walk around the courthouse lost looking for the 4-H.
I know.
That
I know.
If somebody does that, make sure to send me the video.
Right. another common question that I do get is, what does it cost to be part of 4-H? Really, we do not accept any fees. There may be some clubs, that have an annual membership due, but those are used, to enhance, their club activities, in their community service projects. We do have on a county level, some fundraising events to help with our overall county project. I do want to make note of one, that is coming up on October 28th. We did this last year. We had a group of volunteers. It's kind of the 4-H parent, but okay, bring your friends kind of night out. They are doing a dueling duo, fundraising event, which is a live request show featuring Andy Gibson and Rhino on, Saturday, October 28th at the Speedway Event Center. There are pre-sale tickets, and prices, and information that, if you have questions about it or want to get your ticket, you can call the, at the county, 4-H complex, or you can come visit us out at, on Flynn Drive as well. But the evening, will be 6 p.m. social, 7 p.m. meal, and then from 8 to 10:30 will be the entertainment and raffle, kind of event. This is kind of for the 21 and older crowd. But then we also have other fundraising events like our malt wagon in June, which you always look forward to, right?
I can't believe we've gone an hour without mentioning the malt wagon. It's got to be like some sort of record, right?
I think so.
It's got to be a malt wagon record without doing it.
Right, right. And then also I want to reference you guys, if you just want to keep up with us on social media, we are at, Grant County SDSU Extension, which you will see we have, 4-H, posts, kicking off National 4-H Week. I just put on this morning prior to the radio takeover event, our virtual scavenger hunt. And so find information out on there as well. You can reach out to us if you have any questions, but, yeah, if you if you have any questions about 4-H, you can just call us at 605-432-9221.
Thank
what
you so much.
What a great hour. Thank you.
Yeah, it goes fast, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes. I will send you a copy of this, and yes, I will put this on our website.
Okay, perfect.
As well. So awesome. Folks can listen to this in its entirety on our website.
Well, I totally appreciate KMSD Radio for allowing us to take over during National 4-H Week. It has, like we said,
it's
the 5 years
a tradition, right?
Yeah, it goes by so fast, and I think it just allows us the opportunity just to bring awareness of what amazing things our local youth are doing within not only our 4-H program, but also within our state.
And you are a tremendous ambassador of the program.
Thank
you. The program
you.
Is very lucky to have you.
Thank you.
You really are. We'll see you not next year. You'll be on before then.
Yeah, I hope so. I got to talk about Malt Wagon.
It's not like you're banned for a whole year. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.